Pesach. Pesach. So we're going to learn about Pesach today. What is Pesach for us? So we know the birth of the Jewish people as a people occurred on Pesach, right? So we have to understand that. What's special about Pesach? How does this relate to matzahs? How does this relate to Korban Pesach? What is Pesach all about? We live in very, very strange times. Probably stranger than our parents, and definitely stranger than our grandparents. We live in times where you have divorce rates in America, something like 60%, and probably you have 80% of people not living very well with their spouses. You have a breakdown of family unity, children, respect, all those sorts of things. Pesach is called after the Korban Pesach. It's called after the Korban Pesach. What was this Korban Pesach? Chazal tell us the Korban Pesach was a seh, was a sheep that was brought, was a sheep that was brought as a korban. This sheep represented the Avodah Zarah, the, how do you say the Avodah Zarah? The idol worship of the Egyptians. This sheep was brought as a korban, as an offering of the Jewish people, and it was put on their doorposts. The blood of the sheep. Normally, the blood of a korban is put on the mizbech. Here it was put on the doorposts. And this was a sign, and this was a sign that HaKadosh Baruch would poseach, would pass over, that's why it's called Passover, would poseach daltot Yisrael, the doors of the Jewish people, and wouldn't kill them with the firstborn, the death of the firstborn. That's basically what Pesach is.
Does that
literally
mean open?
Huh? No, poteach is open. Pesach is poseach. Like Eliyahu HaNavi said, Lama tem poschim al stei snifim? Why are you standing on two different places? So Pesach means to pass over, to go from one place to another, right? Pass over. To be poseach, to like you open your legs, right? It can be, it could be there's a relationship to be poteach to poseach. I mean, tet and samach in Aramaic is swatch, is swips. Switch the taf and the samach. So it could be a relationship. You see, the Pesach is done on the petach, on the delet, on the door. So there could be a relationship with the door and the petach, and the Pesach offering. Okay, we'll see. We have to understand all of these things. So let's try and understand now. So now, how are we going to understand this Pesach offering? First of all, it's an offering that was done as a family offering. Each house had its own Pesach. You couldn't go from one house to another and eat your Pesach. There's a special halacha, Pesach had to be eaten by Chabura. And the Chabura at the time of Korban Pesach was the family. So it was a family Korban. It was also a Korban that was taking the Avodah Zarah of Egypt and using that Avodah Zarah and serving it to Hashem. So it was a separation of the Avodah Zarah of Egypt and using that Avodah Zarah to be a serving to Hashem. That separated us from the Avodah Zarah of Egypt. So that's another thing. So why did it have to be a family offering? Why did it have to be that was the offering in which was the birth of the Jewish people? And why on the doors of the Jewish people? And why was this the thing that was going to save us from the Makas Bechoros? It's a simple pshat in the pasuk. Kodesh Baruch was poseach, was passed over us. Why was this? What's the Makas Bechoros? Or what represented the Bechor? The Bechor represent the first fruit of that family, right? That means he represented the essence or the pinnacle of that family. That means if something we were doing on that Pesach was going to separate us from Makas Bechoros. What was that? So, the first thing we have to understand is the birth of the Jewish people is the birth of the concept of family. We brought this concept of family to the world. Avodah Zarah, if you understand it correctly, Avodah Zarah, what's the purpose of Avodah Zarah? So Chazal said that Lo Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah, the Jewish people didn't serve Avodah Zarah, Ela Latir Lehem Arayas, to be matting them to do illicit relationships. to be matir them that which is asa for them to do. Right? That's the, you know, that's the biggest taiva, that's the biggest desires. That means a person by himself can't do aveiras. He won't, you know, just go and do an aveira. The person does an aveira, he has to say, well, I really don't believe this stuff. He, in order for him to do aveira and feel good about himself, or okay, not good, okay about himself, good you're never going to feel, but okay about himself, that he did these aveiras, is if he allows a little bit of sheker, a little bit of, how do you say sheker, a little bit of falsitude into his life. Right? Something forced into his life. Then, so long as there's something forced in his life, then he says, oh, I don't really believe in that, I don't really hold that, and I can do this. So that's the concept of Avodah Zarah, a little bit of false in our lives. Right? The other concept is, why I want that falsity in my life? Because I don't want to be obligated. I don't want to be obligated to something else, to something higher than me. I want to do what I want to do, you know? The famous song, I did it my way, right? That's a very bad news in Judaism. You don't do it our way, you do it God's way. Right? We don't do it my way. Right? I live my life my way? What's up, chat? That's the biggest guy that you can have, right? You live it your way. So, Avodah Zarah is basically doing it your own way. I want to do whatever I want to do. That's Avodah Zarah. So we're taking this Pesach and we're making it now. This Avodah Zarah, we're saying we don't want to be Avodah Zarah. We don't do it our way. We don't do what we want to do. We want to subjugate ourselves to you. And then we have what's called a Korban Pesach, which is the Korban of a family. Why having a family is not doing it your way? You guys don't know that yet. But when you get married, you realize. Like if you have kids, there's no way. You're meshubed. You have a wife, you're meshubed. You're working for your family. Most, you know, like, you guys, how much money you guys spend here in a year? $1,000, $2,000 max, right? If you eat pizzas every so often, right? You really indulge, right? Or you go and have a milkshake as well. So you'll get it at higher prices. Maybe you go touring and stuff like that, it'll cost you a little bit more. When you're married, going to be nothing less than 50,000, 60,000. I mean, America, right? I don't know, 50,000, 60,000, 70,000. You have to buy her a house, right? That's pretty expensive, right? That means to buying a house nowadays, maybe in America is cheaper now, especially living, you know, like in Detroit, right? But other than that, right, if you're going to live in like New York or something like that, you have to basically spend the rest of your life working to pay for that house. Then you have to buy the SETI and all these sort of things. And your kids' schooling, right? In America, it's very expensive. Especially in a religious school, it's very expensive, right? So you're going to be working so hard just to keep that fun. When you're married, it's called, the Shulchan Aruch says, you're obligated to learn Torah. If you're ill, you're obligated to learn Torah. If you're Baal Esurim, you have difficulties, you have to learn Torah. And even if you're married, you have to learn Torah. You got that one? All al savaro, you have an all, you have a yoke on you, v'yasok b'Torah, and you'll learn. It's a yoke. Who wants to get married for? Right? Now that you're coming up to the second year, right? Who wants to get married for? Well, it's a nice life, sit in yeshiva. Right? That was the chet, so to speak, of the Dora Midbar. Right? What are you going to Eretz Yisrael? And work, and do all these things. Just, you know, just be with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And now come, we get man every day. That's a great life, right? Can you imagine sitting in yeshiva the rest of your life and having this man that comes down to you? Like, I mean, that's what you get, you guys, right? This man, 3 times a week, you get 3 times a day, you get man, right? It's pretty good. What do you get married for? Marriage is obligations. You have a ksuva. As soon as you have obligations, you don't live for yourself. The concept of a Korban Pesach is a concept of obligations. So you're living for other people. You're living for a family. It's no longer Avodah Zarah. An illicit relationship, znus. What's znus? Znus is take a piece of chocolate, you eat it, you throw it away. You devoured it. There's no obligations. What's the world about? It's a ma'arechet of no obligations. That's Avodah Zarah. I want to live my way with no obligations. Korban Pesach is a korban of a family. It's a korban of an obligation. It obligates you to create a family. I'm with my family. and building a family. This is a korban we all eat on the table together. We can't eat somewhere else. I'm obligated here. Why is the Mizbeach my door? Why is that the place that I put the blood of the Korban Pesach? Why is it that's the place? Normally the place is the Mizbeach. Why here the door is the place I put the altar? Why here the door? Oh, so God will know that this door has blood, so he won't knock on the door and, you know, the mashik won't come in. No, why is it the door? The door is the place you put the mezuzah, right? The door is the place I put the korban. Why is a family the door? The korban, that means the place of the kapara is on the door. The door is the main thing, because the door is the place you go outside. The door is a place where you go to the outside world. Your family is exposed to the outside world. That place needs shmirah. That place needs protection.
The outside.
The outside, from the outside. Your family unit inside, it's easy to protect inside. From the outside, you need protection. That's the message of Korban Pesach. That's why it's called Leil Shmurim. It's the day of guarding from the mazikin. Whatever is outside, that Rishus HaYochid, that place you're building your children up in, that outside needs protection. That outside needs the dam of the Korban Pesach. Why needs the dam of the Korban Pesach? To teach your children the concept of family life. Family life is what protects your children from the outside world. If they have good family life and good family bonds, they will be protected from the outside world. If not, they'll be vulnerable. You understand? So the Korban Pesach has to be on the lintels of the door. That place which needs protection needs Korban Pesach, needs a life, a family life, needs a life of obligations. When you teach your children, the first message you teach a person, the first thing, the first difference, I heard Rabbi Lin gave you guys a share, right? About, you know, once it was maybe three times a week, God, and now it's, that's our life, God, right? What he's basically saying is, three times a week I had to do things, three times a year I had to do something I didn't like doing. Now, the whole time I have to do stuff I don't like doing, right? That's pretty accurate, right? No. No. You're doing stuff that it's true you don't like doing. It is true. You guys like getting up for Shacharis in the morning? Like getting up? Come on. I don't like getting up. No one likes getting up. I don't believe anyone who says they like getting up. Right? That's the best time during the day. You don't, when you go to sleep, you're tired. But if you're that tired, you don't feel the nicety of sleeping. The only time you feel that the desire for sleeping is when you wake up and you're still a little bit tired, and then you know that extra like 15 minutes like in the warm bed, that's great. That's, you know, that's and that alarm clock, that snooze button, though, if I could just get rid of it. That's when you feel it. We don't do things that we like. We don't do things. Sitting and schwitzing over Gemara, we like initially. Anything that's work, we don't like. All of a sudden, we're obligated to learn. We're obligated to daven three times. We're obligated to do tzitzis and tefillin and Shabbos and all these things. And the obligations. No one likes obligations. No one likes being in a cage. So why do it? Because the thing that we see with those obligations is that when a person works and obligates himself, all of a sudden he sees, wow, isn't this great? When you're obligated to something which is higher than you, you're not a slave. You're a free man. What's Pesach called? What do we do? What do we do in Pesach? Bnei Chorin, aren't we? We drink wine, even in Russia. In Russia, they do it differently. It's vodka there. Four cups of vodka, right? It's Chama Medida, right? Vodka's Chama Medida in Russia.
4 liters.
Right. Absolute, right? Yeah, vodka. I think wine is not even Chama Medida in Russia.
Huh? We drink rubbing alcohol.
Right. That's in Mechon Boris, right?
No.
Right. But you understand? We're obligating. When that obligation makes us free. What? Free of what? Free of what? So there's a very interesting Mishnah. It says, don't read Charut. It's on the Luchot, on the Ten Commandments, it was engraved. don't read engraved on the Luchot. Read Cherus. We're free. Free from who? But free men. Free from who? Free from our Yetzirah. When you have Torah, when you have obligations, first you have to have obligations. That's what Pesach teaches us. Obligations of a family. And there's different forms of family. There's family, that's our initial family, our wife and our kids. Then there's family, there's a community. Then there's family, there's a city we live in. And we're obligated different levels of obligation, right? If you're a rich man, you're obligated, you pay more, right? If you're a poor man, so you may be obligated doing more chesed, right? There's obligations you have to your community. There's obligations you have to your creator. You're living a different life. You're living a life of obligations. That's the birth of a Jewish people. That's the birth of Korban Pesach. The birth of a family, the birth of obligations. The world that we live in is a world of Avodah Zarah. It's a world of I'm doing it my way. That's why it's nus. What do you think? What's nus? What's all these illicit relationships? I want to enjoy myself quickly without any obligations. Try this piece of chocolate and this piece of marshmallow and this and just, you know, do whatever I want. Right? No obligations. Who wants obligations? And children? Who wants children? You won't get start having children until you're 40 years of old. 40 years old, right? Who wants children before 40? First, enjoy life. Once the hair gets grey or falls off, right? Okay, now that you have transplants, you know, you can do something with the hose, like, you know, you can stretch it out a little bit, right? They have all sorts of, you know, this silicone is really good, you know. It has multi-functional, right? You can have like big cheeks if you want, right? You can do it. Now they can do lots of things with silicone, right? The plastic look, right? Yeah, silicone's great. You want a life of no obligations. That's what we've changed. The real change of Pesach is a time of obligation. Be going in. Now, how does this go? There's another. It's brought down in Sfarim that Pesach also means Pesach. The mouth speaks. Right? What's the main mitzvah? We all know the clearing up, right? Why are we clearing up so hard? Get rid of the chametz. So the Gemara says that what's chametz? What's chametz represent? It says se'or shebe'isa. How do you say the leaven in the bread? The yeast in the bread is the yetzahara. Represents the yetzahara. Why does yeast represent the yetzahara?
Because it rises up and it's empty inside.
Oh, very good. That's very wow. You must be a rabbi, Mochon Boris. Right? No, that's perfect, right? It looks bigger than it is. Yeah, it looks bigger than it is. It isn't. That's why it sustains you. Because it's like all this bloated stuff that you're eating, right? Matzah, you can eat a lot of it. You know, you don't feel full. You probably feel if you waited a little bit, but you don't feel full. You don't feel full. It has nothing. It has no substance to it. It's only substance. It doesn't have any, like... What's a Yetzirah? If you imagine things... Things always seem tastier than they really are. Right? They always seem tastier. They always seem more desirable than they really are. Once you actually go and have it, it's like, you know, it's not so... Your imagination is bigger than what she is. Right? That's the Yetzirah. Now, we clear up the Yetzirah. Right? It's brought down, the Mishnah Berurah, I think, brings it down, that it's brought down B'Shem Di'ari, that if a person doesn't have any chometz on Pesach, he won't come to any Averas. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean even if he tries to do an Avera, he won't come to an Avera. It means if he tries his best not doing an Avera, he'll have a siyua, he'll have the help, a skula of that he won't come to Averas, right? If he does all that he can not to do Averas, this will also help him that he won't accidentally or won't fall into his way doing Averas. Why is that skula of removing chametz? Because that's the concept of removing the Yetzirah. We have to remove the Yetzirah. How do you remove the Yetzirah? How do we do that? You know, physically we remove the chametz. How does that work? It's called biu chametz, the burning of the chametz. How do we do that? How do we do that within ourselves? What's that called? That's called no girls, no marshmallows, no chocolates, right? Only kosher now. No, that's it. Shabbos, all the things. I'm just doing it.
There's
also
chocolates.
Yes, I'm just saying. Kosher girls, I'm not so sure about. But chocolates you can find. But you understand what I'm saying. It's a stop. I just make a stop.
You're scaring me.
Okay, yeah, he's gone already, right? Right. So we just get rid of it. Does that work for us? When we became Bali Tshuva, what happened? And we're talking about like light years ago. But there was a stage where we just said no. Is that sufficient? No. Pesach, that's the beginning. Then we come to Pesach. What happens when we come to Pesach? Then we say Pesach. Then we do Haggadah. We reveal. Haggadah means to reveal. What do we reveal? We reveal our past. We reveal the chasadim that Kodesh Baruch Hu did to us. We realize where we were in. Lavan wanted to oker et hakol, wanted to remove everything. And give the whole history in Tamsis, little by little, the Jewish people. We can all write our own Haggadah. I remember when I was, and when I was, and when I was, and look at me today. Great. Isn't that great? Most of us can write our own Haggadah of where we were and where we are today. And when we look at ourselves today, if we were to do that Haggadah, the praises we would have for our Creator that He helped us to come along here. Because believe me, everyone is here today, it's a nace. No one's here today, it's, you know, like, oh, it was poshut to go to Ma'or. Oh, it was poshut to go to wherever, Sinai retreats. Oh, it was poshut. It was like, or Sinai retreats, or the girlfriend back home wanted to go on a trip with me. And like, for some reason, she was ill and I went, or something like that, right? Some like weird reason. Something happened that you eventually went on that other place and then you, oh, I like this. Maybe I'll try it a bit more. That rabbi was cool. That was okay, right? And then it could be the back and forth a little bit. But we're here is a nace. That's the Haggadah. That's the first thing. First we get rid. Then we recognize what a Kodesh Baruch Hu did for us. What does that recognition do to us? It makes our Pesach. We want to praise Him. We want to thank Him. We want to recognize where we are now. When you recognize where you were and where you are now, that gives you the koach to move forward in life. We don't sit down often. We always sit down. We always come to the rabbi. Rabbi, I don't feel I'm growing enough. You know? Rabbi, life's not working out for me. One second. What do you mean life's not working out for you? One second. Tell me where you were 5 years ago. Was life working out for you then? Is life now working out for you better than it was then? Most of us can say yes to that one pretty easily, correct? Right? Not Moch and Boris. Okay, we know that one. Okay. But most of us, apart from Moch and Boris, would say yes to that one, right? If there was more vodka, you'd be saying yes. Right? Huh? Okay, we'll get there. We'll get the chocolates. Okay, we'll get there. All right. Okay, now. Then we have the Pesach. Then we get to a different level with the Pesach. First we have to say, we stop. Then we have to realize, get a recognition of where we've come to. And that recognition will come as brings us a level of praise. Then what happens? Straight after Pesach, we have Sfiras HaOmer. What do we do in Sfiras HaOmer? I'm not going to talk about the Haggadah, maybe next week we'll go in a little bit about the Haggadah to go in details. Sfiras HaOmer is the counting of the days leading up to Shavuot. It's a count up to, not a countdown, it's a count up to, right? We're going to blast off on Shavuos, but we're counting up to it. We have now 49 days to count up. Straight away after Pesach, we start with that counting because the whole tachlis, the whole purpose of leaving Mitzrayim was for what? To receive the Torah. Now, what do we do with Sfiras HaOmer? It's also using our mouth. It's also using our peh to sacha, peh to speak. That's what Pesach means, a peh to speak. We speak Today is the first day of the Omer. Today is the second day of the Omer. The third, the fourth, the right? 49. What are we doing in the process of speaking? Each day, if you look in the, you know, these books or these luchot, each day we're trying to fix certain aspects of ourselves. Now that we've removed ourselves from our bad reality, our anochius, which is the sore shabisa, I did it my way bit, we will now want to come into the marechet of obligation. We have a recognition of where we are, and where now we have to go somewhere. We have to go to a higher level of recognition. In order to get to that higher level of recognition, we have to work on ourselves. Now it's a process of working on ourselves. You with me? Each day, we have now 49 days. Why 49 days? Why just work on yourself one day and then, you know, seventh day of Pesach, let that be Shavuos. The Ramban says the whole 49 days is like a big Chol HaMoed. Sfirat HaOmer is like a big Chol HaMoed. It's like one festival, basically. Pesach is Atzeret. Just so you have Sukkot, you have the first days of Sukkot, then you have Atzeret, right? So too, Shavuos is the Atzeret of Pesach. It's like the Hashlama, the completion of Pesach. That means Pesach and Shavuos is really one festival. Now, why such a long walk? Because change has to be gradual. You have to separate from that which is bad, but the improving of self has to be gradual. We take it little step by step, day by day, and then we come to Shavuos, and then, what do we do in Shavuos?
Repent.
No, no, you're in the wrong yeshiva. Go back to Malcolm Boris, right? We're in the wrong. On Shavuos, we bring as an offering unleavened bread. No, sorry, leavened bread. Rising bread. Leaven is right. Leavened bread. With all, we bring as an offering. We can now work with our Yetzirah. Once we've received the Torah, we're allowed those different types of chocolates.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah? Oh yeah?
After 1 year, Mofan Yaakov...
After a few years. By the second year, you're allowed most of those chocolates. They marry you off to a nice girl.
Man.
Right? Man. Right. And it works out. But it works out in the ma'arechet of obligations. Not in the ma'arechet of free for all. That's what's missing. In the framework of obligations, and not a framework of like, do whatever I want. And the truth is, that's the problem with the world. The world doesn't have anything that it's obligated to, anything that's higher than itself. It does whatever it wants. That's why the world is running itself down. That's the source of the problems with most of man. And in history you'll find that a society became very promiscuous and very it decayed. That's the decaying of a society. Because then, you know, you just think about yourself. You're not building anything in the family. There's no fabric to your building. You're not building the fabric of a family. You're not building the fabric of your society. You're not interested in the fabric of your society. You with me? Mm. That has to be the beginning. That's the beginning we're talking about. But then there has to be a framework. Once you have a framework in how things are permitted and how things are forbidden, which is the Torah, it tells you how to use things. There's an interesting Gemara. There's a Gemara in Chulim. The Gemara says, if you want to have a taste of a cheeseburger, then you can have a kachal, the udder of a cow. If you want the taste of a piece of bacon, there's certain fish that you can eat. If you want to have the taste, the Gemara says, of a married woman. Ooh. Oh, now we're talking, right?
Take your wife.
Okay, right. No, you go to war, and you have a yafatah.
You go to war?
You go to war, and in war, milchemes rishus, if you can even take a married woman, it's a Gemara, it's a pasuk in Chumash as well. The pasuk in Chumash, you can the Yafat Torah. You can, when you conquer a city, and even a married woman, you can take her as a captive and you can marry her. So now, what's the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is telling us, you know, like, guys, listen, I know it's hard for you guys with all these, you know, these other things that you could do in the world, right? And that you can't do now. But you know what? I'll find you heterim. Clever, we guys are. These rabbis, they know where to find it, right? So they'll find you if you heterim, right? That's what it's about? No. The vort is that there's nothing which is aser in the Torah. Everything that there is in the world, you can find a place to sublimate it. Everything, all the things. We're not a religion that we eat, like, you know, impregnated rice with vitamins. We don't have, you know, multitudes of fasts. Our holiest day in the week, or in the year, is Shabbos. What do we do at Shabbos? 3 big meals. Cholent. If you, anyone can eat cholent, can't be, you know, like, it's a different religion, right? It's a different religion. If you get through a cholent, you're doing good, right? If you guys thought that what's it called, being religious is eating cholent, right? I think I don't know why they should have in the Maor, they should just have a big bowl of cholent. This is Jewish, right? Everyone would become from, right? This is what we mean by this. You know, just put all the Jewish desserts on the front cover and say, this is how we spend our holiest day doing, right? People already think that, you know, on Shabbos, what do you should be doing? You should be learning Torah. You should be davening the whole day. You should be, I don't know what you should be. That's like Yom Kippur. People think the holiest day is Yom Kippur. It isn't. The holiest day is Shabbos. Shabbos is the holiest day. It's unbelievable. What is Shabbos day? It's a family day again. All our festivals are family days. We sit 3 meals with our families. Something which is unheard of in the Western world, that people actually talk together on a table without internet or television or Skype or whatever it is, right? FaceTime, they have FaceTime. I can imagine, you know, you have FaceTime, like everyone's sitting down in the table and everyone's with their iPhone talking to someone else, right? That's like a FaceTime. What about FaceTime with a person sitting in front of you? That's a good FaceTime. Why don't you have the iPhone, you have FaceTime? Right. New technology, right? Right? FaceTime with your wife. How many people have FaceTime with their wives? Again, same concept. This Gemara is telling you, everything you can find in the physical world, you can sublimate it in Judaism. That's why, now in Shavuos, we take our Yetzirah and we serve it to Hashem. Even the things... Let's be honest. No one's eating cholent on Shabbos because they have to. No one's eating that overweight dessert that they, you know, this diet's a little hard with, you know, the parif cream and the mousse, and it's exactly like, you know, like it, I can't tell the difference between it's parif or milky, right? We're pretty good at that one, aren't we? Right? So we don't have any problems with milk and meat for us, right? Everything can be sublimated. That's what Judaism, but just in a perspective. Judaism gives a perspective to life. A life of obligations and a life in which we sublimate, and with certain criteria we find all those things that are enjoyable but in a permitted way. And when we do it in a permitted way, it has kedusha. It has holiness. And then when we live our lives with those obligations, with those holiness, and it's enjoyable, and we're having fun. You guys, people have fun on Shabbos? It's fun? Yeah. If you tell someone who's not religious, listen, you can't go out on a car, you can't go to Walmart, right? You can't... Oh, that was an advertisement, right? You can't go to... Right? You can't do all those things, right? You can't. You have to stick in the house. Well, that's enjoyable. Who wants to do that? And then we know. Do you think any family wants to just go outside? Everyone loves it. They sit there. The guests come in. They play with their kids. They're talking. And then when the guests leave, they clear up the table, right? And then the husband and wife are left together. And they... Oh, I know this woman. I don't know what to talk to her about. Let's put on the television, right? Or let's put on the Skype. No, you actually talk to your wife. You actually alone with her. You actually communicate. You actually have time together. You don't have a BlackBerry to deal with, and she doesn't have her iPhone to phone all her friends with, right? With FaceTime, right?
Talk, Mama.
Right?
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Do you understand? It makes a big difference. And where does it start from? A life of obligations. A family life. And that's what it ends with. But it ends with a sublimation of all those things which we did because we like doing them. Now we're doing them for God. And you know what? It's so much deeper and so much more rewarding. And we have a real relationship with one woman and a real relationship with our children. And we have the Korban Pesach in our house because that good relationship, that's the Korban Pesach, which is protecting that door, that our children will stay with us. They won't be like most teenagers leave the house and mom and dad don't understand them at all. Mom and dad love them. They care for them. They're interested in them. And they have a relationship with their parents. And of course, even from people have teenagers. Teenagers are a normal thing, yeah? We spoke about that once. Bogan. A teenager's like, you know, becoming his own personality. Of course he'll react. That's normal. So don't expect you not to have teenagers because you're from. You're going to have teenagers. But there's a difference. It's a very big difference. There'll still be that high element of respect. You with me? That's what Pesach's about. That's what we're aware about. That's the birth of us. That's the birth of the Jewish people. That's what we're living for. Now, it might seem strange, all these obligations that we have, but that's what gives us our life. That's what sublimates us to something, to a higher level of existence. And that's what gives us real freedom. We're in control of our lives. We know what we're living for. We know where we're going. We're living for a higher purpose. And we're having fun living it. Charlotte's pretty good, right? Schnitzel's pretty good, right? Even in Bochum Boris is good, right? And you can also have a bit of vodka on Shabbos as well. Right? In Bochum Boris, I'm sure Kiddush is done that way. But okay.
I don't drink.
Right. You understand? That's basically, that's what Pesach's all about. So now, you know, we're coming up to Ben Ezmanim. Ben Ezmanim, people make a mistake.
What is Ben Ezmanim?
The time that you have free time. Now.
Vacation.
Vacation, what is it? So, you know, the normal concept of vacation is I'm working. I'm working. So now I'm vacation. What do you do when you're working, you have vacation? When I'm working, I'm working. I want to get into a job. When I'm on vacation, I'm not working. So people think, yeshiva. I'm in yeshiva. I'm learning. Now it's vacation. I'm not learning. I'm not doing stuff. Let's go and go back to... Free for chutzlaret, free for all, right? That's not Ben Ezmanim. Ben Ezmanim is the time that we recoup. We can go out, we can have some good fun, kosher fun, we can do other things. But we don't close our gemaras. We keep them open, we do chazara, we learn a little bit, we read other books that we didn't have the time during this month to do. We do a little bit of Hebrew reading, a bit of art scroll reading, a bit of, you know, this book was interesting. Or we pick up, you know, or we go out with friends a little bit, we socialize a little bit. Ben Ezmanim is not a free-for-all. Ben Ezmanim, we're still in that ma'arechet of obligations. We're still in that ma'arechet of learning, but different forms of learning, right? Different things we don't have the time for. Now we have a little bit of time. There's that sugi I didn't know so well, now I want to do it. Or that thing, that book I didn't, you know, I really want to read about, you know, Sai Shiduchim. There's a few books on Shiduchim that I really want to read, right? So we go and read those ones. All those different things you don't have the time during this month to do, you do in Ben Ezmanim. Or, you know, to catch up from some old friends, a few emails here, whatever. But that's what Ben Ezmanim is for. To give you the time to do other things that... You know, in this month is a very, very packed time. Now you're given a bit of time to do those things that you couldn't do, but you're still in the ma'arechet of obligations. Chas v'shalom, to leave that ma'arechet. That's not for Ben Ezmanim. You understand? Okay, that's it.
Do you get Ben Ezmanim?